Good morning. If you have your Bibles with you, I want to invite you to take them. I hope you have your Bibles with you. I invite you to take them and turn in them to 1 John. And if you don't have your Bibles with you, if you don't have a Bible, we keep Bibles in the seats there in front of you. They're there for your use. And if you don't own a Bible, you can have that. That you can take that home with you. Now, I know it's only a paperback Bible. It actually probably costs the church just a couple of dollars. If you'd like one better, more leather-boundish, we've got four or five in the Lost and Found. You can help yourself to those two. Been there a while. So 1 John, we're going to continue in our look at this amazing letter, this letter from John. So the text today is verses 5 through 10. It says this: "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Let's pray again. Lord, I pray, we pray together in one accord that you would work here in our hearts, that the great physician would come down and do his work, his surgery, his procedures, the things that you need to do in our hearts, Lord, and we need you to do in our hearts. I pray that the warning of this passage would be very clear to our hearts, and we would see it and we would heed it. And I pray that the grace that we see in this chapter, in this paragraph, we would also see it and believe it, and trust in Christ. I pray that we would cease being people who dabble. Dabble with our relationship with you, dabble with sin, just dabble as if life goes on forever and that there are nothing at stake. Oh Lord, help us to see that everything is at stake. I pray that we would be a people who would walk in the light. And so, Father, I pray that you would move here. And I pray for the many needs that are here, and I'm sure that there are many. I pray that you would meet them by your grace in such a way that people will turn more in faith to you, believing, trusting, and give us great joy in the forgiveness we have in Christ this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, I had a little discovery as I was studying this week. It's going to blow your mind. It blew mine. Something I realized very strange was happening in the church there, the churches there in John's day. It's almost too crazy to believe, but I just ask that you bear with me as we walk through this, and maybe you'll be as shocked as I was. Are you ready? So there were people. Okay, get this, all right? There were people in John's day who claimed to be Christians. They claimed to have faith in Jesus Christ, but whose walk, and I mean by that their behavior and their lifestyle, did not match their claims. They claimed to have fellowship with God based on facts they believed about God, but they walked in darkness. They claimed fellowship with God while nurturing a cavalier to sin attitude in their hearts. They were nominal Christians, claiming that they were more righteous than they were. It's crazy, right? And of course, that's not hard to believe, is it? And you have to forgive the sarcasm. I want it to help you see how deadly this is. It's not hard to believe because it's a problem that persists in our day. People claim to know God, to love God, to have fellowship with God, and yet they walk in darkness, and their affections and their actions, they point in a completely other direction than God. That's why this is a hugely important passage for us today, and I mean all of us. There is a warning here for us. The warning is clear. If we persist in darkness, it says something about our condition before God. We'd be foolish not to take this word seriously. This passage contrasts for us genuine faith in Christ from nominal Christianity that has become so popular in our widespread American experience. He is taking so-called Christians to task, and he is taking to task Christians. He's taking to task Christians, you know, the kind that have not let their Christianity or their Bibles get in the way of the way that they have always lived, loving the things that they've always loved, hating in the same kind of way that they've always hated, full of envy and all those things that 1 John addresses. John's letter is intended in part to help us see that not all Christians are Christians. And that might strike you as hard. That might strike you as hard. And I bet it does. I bet it does. But this is the Apostle John. And we should probably just toughen up a bit and let God's word speak, because that's where this letter goes. And I don't think John was writing this merely so that we could clearly see that some people who claim to be Christians aren't real Christians. Along with that warning, John also provides truth that gives us, sinners, aware of our sin, deep hope in Christ, deep hope that lasts forever. We can, by the grace of God, rely on Jesus Christ and his work on the cross and his complete forgiveness of our sins and his cleansing and his fellowship, the fellowship he provides with God and with one another. We can trust in Christ. John wrote this not just so that we would recognize nominals and be able to explain them, this phenomena of nominal Christianity. He wrote this because he didn't want you to live like a nominal, or me to live like a nominal. That's the warning part that's here for us, and I think it's a sober warning. If we walk in darkness, no matter what we say, we do not enjoy a genuine relationship with God. That is meant to motivate us to take our sins seriously. And it points us to the real hope for us in this passage. As we go to war with our sin, we don't rely on our own effort to be in a right relationship with God. And what's more is we don't have to hide or cover our sin. We don't. We are free to confess our sinfulness and our neediness. You know why? I mean, we don't have to pretend. We don't have to act like we're more righteous than we are. We're free to confess our sins before God and even before one another. And the reason why is because we rely not on our own righteousness, but on Jesus Christ and his death on the cross. That's what provides cleansing. That's what provides the forgiveness that you and I so desperately need. So there's warning in this passage and hope, and they're mingled together. And I want to encourage you, my friends, to walk through this with me and let this passage, and through this passage, let God, through his Spirit, do a mighty work in your heart. If you're claiming to be a Christian and your life contradicts that claim, should you rely on the claim? I so want you to hear the warning of this passage and turn to Christ. And if you're losing the war of your own sinfulness this morning, trusting in Christ, but losing the war, feeling powerfully the deadening effects of your struggle with sin and how dirty sin feels, discouraged, I want you to hear the hope of the gospel in this passage and take confidence in the cross. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And may God use this and all of us today, so that we would make war on our sin. The foundation of John's argument is in verse 5. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Everything else in verses 6, you know, from verses 6 through 10, they're just implications of that truth. There's no dualism with God. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. There's no dualism. There's no a little bit of this and a little bit of that. There's no yin-yang. You know that symbol that's in Asian philosophy? Eastern religion. There's a philosophy that holds that, you know, it's a circle. It's got one side is black and one side is white. And there's a little bit of black in the white and a dot of white in the black, you know. And the idea there is that there is evil and there is good. And every evil has a bit of good and every good has a bit of evil. That's what yin-yang stands for. None of that with God. God is all light, no darkness. No darkness with God. The lightness of God is not a truth that John presents with any nuance or any disclaimer. It's a statement that needs a period. God is light, and in him is no darkness. Period. So John presents that truth, and then he lets that truth sort out everything else and everyone else. And this truth basically sorts out people into two kinds, those who walk in darkness and those who walk in the light. Maybe it would be helpful for us to just walk through those two types as a way to walk through this passage. We'll spend the rest of our time just thinking about these two descriptions. Those who walk in darkness, we'll do that one first, and then those who walk in light. So what are the characteristics of those who walk in darkness? He's describing the people who walk in darkness. And he's not really talking so much about their specific dark deeds right here. Some a little bit hints at them, but really the dark deeds aren't the point here. They come up later in the letter. But right now it's the darkness. He's describing the darkness. You know, the deeds of the darkness which come up later, not loving other Christians, persisting in sinful habits, loving this present world, those kind of things. And we'll get into those as we get into this letter. But here he's describing the characteristics of the people who walk in darkness. And there's five of them I can see here. Five characteristics of people who walk in darkness. Number one, people who walk in darkness do not do truth. That's the literal way to translate the Greek behind verse 6. We lie and do not practice the truth. That practice the truth. It's literally, we do not do truth. It's like someone saying, I don't do mornings. Or, I don't do kale. Sorry, that might be passively aggressively true. Not doing something means that something's not your thing, right? That's how we use that parlance, that kind of language. You don't really like mornings. You don't really engage in the morning. You don't really want the morning to be a significant part of your day, so you don't do mornings. That's the kind of language here. That's the kind of parlance. Those who say they have fellowship with God, yet walk in darkness, don't do truth. Truth isn't their thing. They don't engage in the truth. Truth is, it's not a significant part of their life. They don't do it. And you know, as Christians, we should do truth, right? I mean, we live in a world full of lies. Full of lies. You know, this is just an aside, but I just want to say it because I think we need to hear it. We ought to be a people who say what is true all the time. We don't play with language. We don't reframe it, reshape it, put it in a special light. We just say it so that people would believe it. And you know, here's the thing, though. I said they in all those examples. They don't engage in truth. They don't, this isn't their thing. And maybe I shouldn't use the word they. John doesn't. He uses the word we. I don't think this is meant to fuel our judgments of other people. This is meant to strike a chord in your heart and in my heart. If we say we have fellowship with God but walk in darkness, we lie and do not do truth. So what are we lying about when we walk in darkness? And that's number two here. We're lying about our fellowship with God according to the first part of verse 6. Regardless of how much we claim that fellowship, our walking in darkness demonstrates it's not true. That means that we can participate in church. These are the claims. These are saying that we have fellowship with God. We can participate in church. We can go to all the right, you know, Christian groups. We can post all the right Christian memes, the Bible verses to our social media. We can claim till we are blue in the face that we have fellowship with God, that we are Christians. But if we walk in darkness, it demonstrates that claim is not so. We don't genuinely have fellowship with God if we walk in darkness. Again, another statement that needs a period. Number three. So people walking in darkness don't do truth. That's the first characteristic. Second is we lie about our fellowship with God. The third is that we lie to ourselves about our own sinfulness. You can see that in verse 8. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. There's a sense of self-righteousness in those who walk in darkness and a downplaying of their own sin. And that's particularly a dangerous kind of deception. You know what I mean? Self-deception is very dangerous. I think it's more dangerous than deceiving others. You deceive yourself. We're not just putting on a show for others. We're actually believing it. You tell a lie to yourself long enough, you will believe it. In this condition, you're not free to confront your sin or to admit your sin or to confess your sin. You have to keep the lie up. And that means to justify it and sweep it under a rug. And pretty soon, all that justifying adds up and you don't think you're that bad. You ever been there? I have. I've been there. I have justified my sin to the extent that I stopped thinking that it was wrong. And that's a dangerous place. In that condition, we develop a cavalier attitude towards sin, a deadly attitude towards sin. We don't see our hate as rotten or our lust as deadly or our envy as evil. We give ourselves a pass. We lie to ourselves. Number four, the fourth characteristic of those who walk in darkness is that they lie about God. You can see that in verse 10. If we say we have no sin, we make God a liar. You know, I think that means that the Bible says everywhere that we are sinners. The Bible says everywhere that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all not measured up. Not a one of us have measured up. When we act as if we're not that bad, not entirely from beginning to the end, in need of God's grace, we, in essence, call God a liar. We stand with the Pharisees, as it were, back in Jesus' day. Remember them? This bunch of extremely religious people in Jesus' day that thought that they were killing it when it came to the religious life. They thought that. The people thought that. Everyone thought they were killing it when it came to faith and godliness. They saw themselves as righteous. The reason they opposed Jesus was because they thought they were inherently good. All that lying had built up in their hearts. And the way they got there was by lying and then lying and then lying. Lying to themselves, giving themselves a pass on their own sin, and lying about God, lying that they were sinful people. In fact, Jesus said that they were not only wrapped up in a lie, they were wrapped up in the father of lies. Look at John 8:44. We'll post it here, I think. It says, "You are of your father, the devil." He's talking to the Pharisees. "And your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him." There's similar language there in our text, right? No truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and he is the father of lies. The final characteristic of us, if we walk in darkness, is that the truth of God's word is not in us. And he repeats that refrain twice, right? Verse 8 and verse 10. Now remember, this is in spite of whatever someone might claim about someone who's walking in darkness. No matter what they claim, this is what it says. I might claim the truth is in me. I might claim God's word is in my heart. But if I walk in darkness, John says God's word, his truth, his word is not in me. And that's the picture he's painting here. It's a dark one, isn't it? It's a sobering one. If we walk in darkness, we do not do truth. We lie about our relationship with God. We do not have fellowship with God. We lie about our own sinfulness. We lie about God. The truth, his word, is not in us. You know what that means? That means that nominal Christianity is not Christianity. It's not real. It's opposed to God. It does not do truth. It does not have a relationship with God. It lies and about its sin. It lies about God. It lies about God's word. If you're a nominal Christian, you're not a Christian. That's a sobering and inescapable and gracious warning right here in the text of God's word. And I say gracious because I don't think this is meant to condemn. I think this is meant to wake up. I think it's meant to turn on the light so that we would no longer go around stumbling in the darkness, content to be there in the dark. John did not write 1 John 1, 5 through 10 to condemn you. He wrote it according to 2:1, which we'll get to next week, to wake you up so that you would run from sin with all of your confidence in Christ. Warnings are gracious things. They are good for you, and they are good for me. All right, so let's contrast the description of walking in darkness, us walking in darkness, with a few characteristics we have of us walking in the light. Verse 7 says that those who walk in the light enjoy fellowship with one another. What do you think that means, one another there? Do you think he's talking about our fellowship, you know, Christians and their fellowship with God, or Christians and their fellowship with other Christians? Which one do you think is there? The logic of verse 6 makes me think that it's the fellowship, or it would make me think that it's the fellowship with God. In contrast to those who walk in darkness, so they claim fellowship with God, those who walk in the light actually do have fellowship with God. That makes sense, right? That's what you'd expect him to say right here. So maybe the one another in verse 7 is fellowship between us and God. When we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with God and he with us. And that's true enough. At the very least, it's an implication of verse 6. And that's actually what we want it to say. I mean, that's what we expect it to say. But there are three things in this passage, in this text, that makes me think that in spite of what we expect John to say in verse 7, he's actually saying that if we walk in the light, as God is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, other Christians. Verse 3 makes me think that. I preached on that last week. In the proclamation and believing of the gospel, there's a new and very deep fellowship among God's people. Do you remember? It's online. You can go listen to it. It's a fellowship that has two layers. We have fellowship with other Christians, and we have fellowship with God. The point I made and the way I worded it was we have fellowship with us, with him, through the gospel. So maybe he's saying that if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with other believers. And if we walk in darkness, we don't have that fellowship. Supporting that is the language here, actually. The word one another, it's one word in the Greek there, one another, and it's used about 100 times in the New Testament. Almost a quarter of those are in the writings of John, and it always means relationships between people, every single time. That would mean that if this did mean our relationship with God, it would be the one time that this language was ever used this way. And supporting it further, the idea that walking in the light means fellowship with other Christians is the overall message of 1 John as I have studied it. You see, one of the big reasons this letter was written is so that Christians will stop hating one another and start loving one another and start enjoying the kind of fellowship that God has created us to enjoy as his people. Walking in darkness breaks that fellowship. He makes that point clear in this book. Sin mars the fellowship among God's people. Did you know that? I think we often think of sin as just a thing between us and God. But it is so destructive on so many levels. It destroys fellowship. Walking in darkness breaks that fellowship. Walking in the light, however, that brings deep fellowship among believers. We're on safe ground, I think, in concluding that walking in the light means both real and genuine fellowship with God and genuine fellowship with other Christians. Now, John twice makes it clear that walking in the light, as God is in the light, does not mean being sinless. And that's a confusion we have to clear up, because you could read verses 5 and 6 all by themselves without thinking about the context and conclude that those who walk in the light, never sin. And that would be debilitating to your faith. That would be crushing to my faith because if I'm honest, even for a second, I know I sin. The struggle we have with sin persists in our Christian lives. So we have to keep reading. And John repeats the refrain twice, slightly different both times, that those who walk in the light aren't sinless. Instead, they are honest about their sin. We don't say, according to verse 8 and verse 10, that our sin is not really sin and that we're not really sinners or that we're not really that bad. Those who walk in the light own their sin. They acknowledge their sin. They even confront their sin. They confess their sin. They agree with God that that's sin. That's real. They don't deny it or justify it. That's the difference. The second characteristic of those who walk in the light is that they own and confess their sins. And you know what? They're free to do that. They're free to do that, to be honest about their sin. And you know why? Because their hope is not in their ability to avoid sin. Their hope is not in their own righteousness. Their hope is in Jesus Christ alone. And it's a hope that is well placed. Look at verses 7 and verse 9. Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're free to confess our sins before a holy God and even before one another because our hope is not in ourselves. We know we are sinful. Our hope is Jesus Christ and his death and his burial and his resurrection. His shed blood to cleanse us from our sin. That's our hope. So we hope in him, and that's a hope that does not disappoint. We find forgiveness. We find cleansing. Our sin is dealt with on the cross. Think about the words in verse 9. Jesus is faithful, and he is just. Oh, two pretty awesome words. Faithful means that he comes through for us every time. When we trust in him, we find him faithful every time. He doesn't mess up. He doesn't skip something. He doesn't leave you a little bit unclean. He is faithful. You'll find him that to be so for yourself. He won't leave you a little undone. He's faithful. And that ought to be a comfort for those of us who are sinners. We find Jesus a faithful Savior. And just means that he doesn't simply go soft on our sin. God does not overlook your sin. Do you know that? God does not overlook your sin. He doesn't overlook your sin the way that you often overlook your sin. God is the opposite of overlooking sin. The gospel is the opposite of overlooking sin. The cross demonstrates God's justice over sin. In Jesus, God has justly dealt with your sin, not in part, but the whole. Jesus satisfied the justice that your sin requires, and he did that by shedding his blood and dying in your stead. Those who walk in the light as God is in the light are not sinless people. That's not John's point. He's not trying to build Pharisees here. They are people who confess their sin before God and who rely utterly on the gospel for their standing before God. For the forgiveness that comes from Jesus and the grace that comes from God through Christ, that all comes through the work of the cross. So they don't embrace their sin. You know, it's popular these days in the authentic wave to embrace your sin. We don't do that. We don't just walk in darkness. We don't lie or justify or cover up our sin or try to appear to be better than we are. Those who walk in the light run from sin. They run from sin. Confessing their sin to God. Believing in Jesus. That's John's point. So what are we to do with it? What are we to do with this passage? What are you to do with it practically this week, today? What did John want you to do with this passage? What does God's Spirit right now want to do in you and through you, through this passage? This is a description, and I want you to notice that. It's not even a bunch of imperatives or commands. He is showing us what those who walk in the light look like and what they do. So what are you to do with it? You know what I think he wants you to do with it? I think he wants you to see these two descriptions of one who is walking in darkness and one who is walking in light, and resolve that this is not you, and you will walk in the light as he is in the light with your hope in Christ. That you'll stop being nominal and you stop playing around and dabbling with your sin as if it's a toy and not deadly. This description is meant to wake us up. So instead of pretending, instead of lying or covering up, instead of walking in a little darkness here and there, kind of enjoying it here and there and thinking, you know, at least I'm not as bad as that guy, I would simply confess it before God, relying on the truth of the gospel, believing in Christ, and finding Jesus Christ faithful and just to forgive us from all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think that's what this passage is meant to do. I don't want to be the guy who walks in darkness. That person who doesn't have a real relationship with God but checks all the right boxes, does all the right things, curates their social media feed so they look really good. I don't want to be nominal. I don't want to hold on to lies. I don't want to lie to myself so much that I stop knowing that I'm deceiving myself. I want to walk in the light. I want fellowship with God. I want real fellowship with God, the kind that he bought for me on Calvary's tree. And I want fellowship with you, brothers and sisters in Christ. I want the freedom to confess my sin and not hide them in the dark places. I want to trust Jesus Christ and his work on the cross for me as my only hope in life and in death. The only hope for my sin. The only hope to be forgiven and cleansed and made righteous. I don't think God wants me to be nominal. Or you. I think he wants us to go all in. Because the darkness is no place for us. The light is the place for us. Jesus is better. Let's pray. Father, I pray if there is one here that comes today not understanding the hope of the gospel, that you would, by a work of your grace and your power and your word, open eyes, reveal truth, expose sin, and show that person the glory of Christ. And Lord, I don't pray that you just do that for that person. I pray that you do that for all of us here. You would show us the glory of Christ, and we would stop walking around in darkness as if it's a good place to be, and we would walk in the light as you are in the light. Thank you for the grace that we have received through Jesus Christ. Thank you that my sin, as the hymnist says, was nailed not in part, but the whole, to the cross of Christ, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.